You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
This movie called Chris Pine's Penis, and
I thought it was a sequel to Braveheart. What the heck? Well, I mean,
it's the
it kind of was the sequel to Braveheart.
It super duper was, and I haven't seen Braveheart, so
what?
Can someone explain that to me? The 3-hour movie in less than 3 minutes.
Well, imagine this character from this movie, Robert the Bruce, played by Chris Pine, was a complete like kind of wuss who was like nowhere near as cool as this other random Scottish guy, and constantly acts like a coward. That's Braveheart.
With a shittier Scottish accent. Yeah.
This is apparently much closer to the real story of what was going on back then.
According to Richard Whittaker, who I did run into after the screening, this was historically accurate.
So I've been told. Yeah.
But he also has serious issues with Braveheart.
I'm sure he does. Well, a lot of historians do say it's full shit on multiple levels. But you know what? I enjoyed Braveheart for what it's worth.
I fucking love Braveheart.
This is, however, Outlaw King, which is being made was made by Netflix. So yes, it will be coming out on Netflix very shortly after a theatrical run, which is what happens at this time of year because everybody's like, "Ooh, we want awards too if we can get them." So you got to get them in theaters. Several movies this year that are coming out with theatrical runs and then going straight to Netflix. But this one, like we said, about Robert the Bruce, played here by Chris Pine, who seems like odd casting, but it is indeed for this time directed by an actual Scotsman. Which seems like a good idea, David Mackenzie, because you know what they say, if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Who directed Hell or High Water, which was amazing.
Okay. Yeah, that was good.
So no big surprise that somebody would want to grab him and say, hey, let's take you on to bigger and less indie things here. But I didn't get to see this one. Kim and Patience did, so why don't you tell me a little bit about the story?
It's the story of Robert the Bruce.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right. Well, it opens up.
Wiki.
The rebels.
Yeah,
the
it's after the Battle of Falkirk, which is where the Braveheart ended, is where the big battle where William Wallace wins.
The Braveheart?
The Braveheart. And then he goes into hiding. On the Googles, on the Wikipedias. And so Robert the Bruce has sort of, given in to Edward, King Edward of Longshank, I believe. The first, is it?
Yeah. Well, all the rebels have kind of given up.
Yeah.
While William Wallace has been captured, quartered, all that bad stuff. And the movie opens up with, 10 minutes of the rebels making peace with the king, kind of doing a truce. And being salty AF about it. I've never seen so much salt in the first 10 minutes of a movie in my life, because the king is happy. The king just won a war. He's bragging. He's going around taking mercy on you. You can now serve me. You should be happy about this. Just bragging the whole 10 minutes, and then everyone around him is just pissed.
Yeah, exactly. And he singles out Robert the Bruce as being, even though Robert the Bruce helped William Wallace with his uprising, he singles out the Bruce. Maybe that's why I keep calling it the Bruce, as okay, well, I'm going to marry you off to my goddaughter.
Right.
And I'm going to make you not king, but I'm going of Scotland, but I'm going to
he's a higher up.
Yeah. I'm going to make you a lord. Yes. Elizabeth.
Florence Pugh's on her way up.
And she's absolutely gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, but I have major issues with her character. But continue, Patience.
Yes, I agree as well. And so basically they go back home. They try and get settled as a couple. It's very much a love story, I think, in the very first act. I feel like it's very much them sort of getting to know each other and her getting to know his kid and blah, 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 blah,
blah. There are some love story elements. They don't go super deep with it. There are a lot of lingering glances.
But they don't talk much. Yeah, that's true. A little a little holding of the hands here and there. They don't consummate the marriage
until
at least
wrap it up really quickly.
The night before the big war. Seriously.
Well, as you do.
Is that?
Gotta make it more exciting.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't live in the 1300s.
Are you sure you want to do this now? Or do you want to wait till the big war? It'd be much more exciting.
Well, the day after Robert's wedding, he goes to pay his taxes to the king, and that's when he finds out that William Wallace had been drawn and quartered, and sent to the ends of Scotland. And there's a big uprising.
So they sent out all the pieces to opposite ends of Scotland.
Yeah, that's were they afraid he was literally gonna... the end of Braveheart.
No, I know they quartered him. I didn't realize they were specific.
Yeah, that was
were
Edward.
They afraid he's going to reform like a vampire.
It was supposed to be a message. So Edward Longshank, he was like, I want it to all the edges, all the corners of Scotland. I want a piece of William Wallace.
It was pretty cool. The part of him that we saw was his hand nailed to a plaque with his innards coming out of it, and underneath it said the outlaw William Wallace.
Yeah. And then he went to another town, and it was just kind of his head, and it was kind of that part was
pretty sweet.
So then Robert decides that he's like fuck it, I hate this dude. I hate his son even more. His son, the Prince of Wales, Edward VII, is a dick.
If his son was a guy living now, he would have a pop collar.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Without a doubt. He was the leader of the frat boy fraternity. Sorry if any of our listeners are in fraternities.
I don't mean the bad
fraternities. The ones in movies.
The dickheads.
the ones who do the rapey stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. This guy is like...
Luckily, he wasn't rapey. He was just stupid, and he was overcompensating for his stupidness by being really angry.
And, had daddy issues. And is it... Okay, so speaking of Edward VII... Is it just me, or did everyone in this movie have the worst haircuts I've ever seen in my whole entire life?
They were
life?
So bad.
So first of all, Chris Pine has a mullet, and then Edward VII has a bull head. I mean, they're that bad.
Wow. We could do a whole different review on the haircuts of this movie, but I don't think that's what Chris really
wants. Doesn't it eventually get into a war?
Yes. Has anyone ever watched Game of Thrones and you thought, hey,
never.
This is a pretty cool show, but I don't like the dragons and I don't like the Seven Kingdoms. I don't like all the interesting stuff. I just want to see the war parts with no character development. If you've ever said that to yourself, this is a movie for you. You should watch this movie.
So there's lots of war.
There's lots of fighting. There's lots of bloodshed. There's lots of armies running towards each other, but I don't really know why I should care about either side. I know we're following Robert the Bruce because he's the main lead of the movie, but I didn't see Braveheart. I don't know what the struggle of the Scotsmen are. They kind of
be free of England.
Well, yeah. Okay, sure, but they kind of jump. The thing is, the movie starts off with the struggle with England has ended. They've lost. They've already swore fealty to the new King of England. And everything seems pretty chill. I mean, other than William Wallace being cut up into parts and strewn around England or whatever.
Scotland,
yeah. That sucks. But other than that, everyone seems pretty chill. Everyone's like, we don't really want to fight. It's just Robert the Bruce. It seems like he's only doing this for pride.
So he's going back and saying, no, we can't. We've got to fight back. So it's basically about the second battle.
I mean, this is definitely Braveheart, the sequel, without a doubt. I mean, it literally starts when Braveheart ends. And I know that they were trying to make it more historically correct, which is nice because Braveheart was not historically correct in a lot of ways. They took a lot of, creative licenses, which everyone hates. But, I actually thought that they made a lot of they continued with a lot of the same tropes. So you have the crazy, right-hand man.
Oh, Aaron Johnson, I think is his name.
Yeah, the guy that plays Douglas. Yeah.
He spends a lot of the movie. So his whole thing is when his family lost to England, the king declared that he doesn't ever want to hear his name spoken again. That's king's declaration. His name is Douglas. Because of that, he has his own plot line throughout the movie where he is trying to bring down England. And every time he wins a battle, he's like, say my name. And the people are like, Douglas, Douglas. This is a thing he does. It's literally his whole character arc is him making people say his name.
Okay.
While spitting and, like, acting like a rabid animal.
And he was a real dude, and he's, like, the crazy guy. So, like, flashback to Braveheart Eric from Ireland.
Sure.
The one that talked to God. Very similar characters, except for Douglas doesn't talk to God, and he was actually a real person.
Fair enough.
So,
I'm not sure if the other guy was. He might have been.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Just while we're, like, picking out certain people, I thought Aaron Taylor Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think I'm saying his full name.
You are.
He's obviously playing a character, but he was so big. He was literally a dog with rabies this whole movie. Mm. So completely exaggerated. I don't know exactly. I feel like he was a mentally challenged person, the way he was portraying this character. I wish they showed some other side to him. Which kind of is my problem with most of the characters in this movie. They all had one side. I would like at least two sides to a character, but his side was he's a rabid animal. He doesn't like that his name was taken from him. He's trying to get it back. That was his only thing throughout the movie.
Yeah, and then he spends the rest of the movie covered in blood screaming, "Say my name." Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a
lot
of depth.
We're not even joking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. The character development in this movie was not great.
Well, it sounds like they spent some amount of time with the complication between Chris Pine, Plump Pine and Florence Pugh's character and their forced upon them relationship.
Well, the thing about Chris Pine is he is very quiet in this movie. I wasn't expecting, and I think partially that's because he couldn't really pull off a Scottish accent, but he was struggling. Honestly, he went from like middle American accent to when he had to give a big speech, he obviously practiced that speech in the mirror a couple times because he actually did throw on some Scottish accents into that his speeches, but when he was just talking one-on-one to a person, it was like he was just someone from, you know, Mississippi or Michigan or something.
He definitely, I mean, and I tried not to concentrate too much on his accent because I knew it was going to be terrible. So I just was like, okay, we'll just take it for what it is.
Because I don't think he's Scottish. I mean, I get it. I think he's a fine actor. In fact, he was in Hell or High Water. So it's like, okay, so the director worked with him before, but you're Scottish, you're trying so hard to make this accurate. There was no one else you could get? No other Scottish actors out there?
Well, I do believe Chris Pine is a great actor, and he's dripping with charisma, like in Wonder Woman, in the Star Trek movies. In this movie, he had no charisma. Maybe it was the mullet, I'm not really sure. But I was, every time he came on screen, it's kind of like how I feel about Rick Grimes in Walking Dead. This dude is just so boring to be the main character.
He definitely has, like, he's trying to play, like, that, like, you know, quiet confidence role. And I think that he pulled it off in some episodes of the, you know, some chapters, but in other ones, I'm just like, okay. It really, I mean, it honestly, the first two chapters, I was bored as fuck. The third one where it finally kicked in, where we finally got to see a war. You know, my only problem is with stunt horses. I really, really dislike the use of stunt horse. And at one point, I mean, you know that, like, okay, that wasn't CGI. Like, I saw that, you know, horse get hurt, and it hurts my heart.
They're pretty careful these days.
I know, I mean, I know that we're no Spartacus anymore, but still, like, I know that some of these things get fudged, and the whole final battle scene, there's a lot of horses that get flipped onto their backs, which I know is not good for them. Just okay. Saying.
It wasn't good, but
that
it,
was the
you,
only thing.
Is it PETA? PETA? Who are the people who are PPTA, whatever.
Well, the Humane Society.
But I did think
SPCA.
It was a really cool fight scene. It's something I haven't seen
that, See, that's
before.
What Carlos said, too. Carlos was like, that was one of the coolest fight scenes or the boar scenes I've ever seen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like, it was bloody and it was gory and there was a lot of horses getting speared. Oh, and a lot of people, too, but fuck them.
You know the horses didn't actually get speared, right?
Well, I know they didn't actually get speared, but
that looked super realistic.
It looked really realistic.
So what are the odds that
the CGI looked really good?
Wasn't real either.
Well, I mean, that you can't really fake that easily.
Sure you can.
No, I don't know. You really can. I don't know. I'm skeptical. This is my skeptical face.
There's actually,
which you can't see,
the caution these days involved with filmmaking.
People
making sure
are,
animals don't get hurt is
at
such a high level legally that I seriously doubt anyone.
That's my skeptical face.
I'm just saying.
There was a lot of horses.
Yeah.
A lot.
R.I.P. horses. I think my biggest disappointment for this movie was the wife, Elizabeth. They set her up as being the strong, independent female.
She sings a lot.
She sings a lot?
There's a lot of singing in this movie.
There's a lot of singing.
Catholic singing. Like this movie's 2 hours long. If they had cut the Catholic singing, it would have been an hour 40 minutes.
Okay, so that's one of the things that I want to talk about. And maybe I should save it for my final thoughts, but maybe not. I feel like this movie was edited poorly. Like, there's a lot of, like, little snippets that you're just like, why is this important? And it never goes anywhere. So it's like they filmed this huge epic film that could have easily been 6 hours, and then they try to get it down to this like little tiny 2 hours, and then the editor was just like, well, I have to introduce this character here, so I'm just going to put this little weird snippet in here to introduce this character.
Felt like a TV miniseries.
Absolutely. I mean, there were so many things, like little tiny little plot lines, like the daughter and the dog, or the kid with the crown. They were just like throwing everything in the bowl and just like, okay, I guess we're gonna make it all work somehow. And it seemed so weird to me. Like, just keep it on track, and it would have been a much better movie.
Well, I know what you're talking about, just because as far as editing goes, I feel like they were going for more of a cinematography feel than an actual good story. And I say that because you mentioned the first maybe quarter of the movie, they do have something of a love story going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, when Chris Pine's character and the Elizabeth, his wife character meet, they spend a lot of time on their wedding. They spend probably 5 to 10 minutes on showing them getting
married.
Instead of showing them having like a back and forth relationship. There's a lot of staring across the room. That doesn't really mean anything.
A lot of holding hands.
But there was a 5-minute song during their wedding that we had to listen to.
Singing.
Oh, no.
And it was like, we get it. They're married. Like, let's move on with this. Is there a story? Like, I felt like I was at an actual wedding.
Yeah. If the brunt of the story was about their relationship and the bulk of it, then that would have been one thing.
Yep. But they did that a lot. There's a lot of these little snippets that you're just like, okay, so there's this one guy that they're going to introduce, and he's important for all of less than 10 minutes throughout the whole entire 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Yeah, I wish instead of dropping in random characters to have, like, 10 minutes worth of importance, they just focus on the main characters and building them up more.
Agreed, 100%. Well, was the biggest problem.
Kim, tell us about your final thoughts.
I'm actually really happy that this movie's coming out on Netflix. I feel like it is a Netflix movie. I think it was a big budget, but I also feel like they didn't use their budget wisely, like I just mentioned.
Oh, $130 million, that is pretty high.
Holy shit.
They did not use that wisely at all. They could have done another 2 drafts of the script.
Well, $60 million of that was for Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
really?
And then the other $20 million was for his Scottish acting coach.
I don't think anyone has paid $60 million a movie, like, ever. But maybe that was all for the horses.
Oh,
that was to pay off the
SPCA in Scotland. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. My biggest issue with this movie is because I have not, once again, seen Braveheart, I'm just walking into this movie cold. I have a somewhat passing knowledge of the Scottish War and how it all played out and whatever, as much as an American can have, I suppose. But I felt like how Patience mentioned, it seemed like snippets of a TV show all jumbled together. It felt like I was thrown into episode 5 or 6 of a 10-episode, like, miniseries without knowing what it was about. It was just really awkward to me. The characters were kind of thrown in without proper introduction, without proper character arcs.
Felt like it needed an extended text scroll at the beginning.
Well, they did have that.
They had a ton of text scrolls.
It was like I had to read a chapter of a book before the movie got started, and then I had to listen to 10 minutes of Catholics singing during a wedding, and I was like, oh, this movie's about to be fantastic, obviously. I feel like they didn't get the memo that you should try and hook your audience in the first couple minutes and not make them fall asleep, because that was definitely what I felt. The only thing keeping me alive was the knowledge that I would see parts of Chris Pine that I'd never seen before.
Yes!
So,
just for a sec.
That being said, I think this movie is pretty weak, honestly, but I would recommend it for someone if they're staying at home wanting to watch something on Netflix. Why not? If you're into historical dramas, it's not bad, and it has some really kick-ass fight scenes, so pretty high praise as far as the fight scenes go, but everything else is lackluster for me. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10... What? Spiked horses.
I Kev and I agree wholeheartedly about this movie. I've agreed with everything you said this far. It's just a weirdly, I mean, I think it's perfectly suited for Netflix, because if this was a movie that you would see, you know, mainstream wise, I don't think that this would work at all. I think that people would just, you know, push back. But for Netflix, it's like, I'm bored, and this is a period film, and I can watch it.
Fast forward to the blood scenes.
Exactly, and it has Chris Pine, because who doesn't love, you know, Captain Kirk? Out,
whenever someone starts saying, just fast forward 5 minutes.
That's true. I mean, this, I wish
because
I could have.
It means nothing. There's nothing it adds to the movie.
Exactly. And I feel like if you had cut all of the singing out and all of that weird little side snippets and then concentrated more on the actual plot of the film, I feel like this would have been a much better film. I feel like they, like I said, they filmed, you know, 6 hours of really great footage, and they're like, well, shit, we have to cut this down into a, like, 2 hours and 17 minutes. And so the choices that they made were not necessarily the best decisions, because this is predictably cheesy. You know, there is some stuff in this film you're just like, oh my God, really? That's the way they decided to go. But, you know, you gotta appease your Netflix audience. That's fine. I get it.
Like,
Chris, you know, I just want to, again, give a shout out to Richard Whittaker, who we love. He says that this movie is historically accurate, and he says that Chris Pine's Scottish accent was infinitely better than Mel Gibson's.
Okay.
So I'm going to, you know, just totally say Richard's probably right
probably
on those two things.
On those things, at least.
But as far
but
as
was
the
it
movie.
His actual penis?
I assume. I mean, okay, first of all, he was emerging from a Scottish stream, which you
they
have to
have been able to even see.
I want to say it's probably quite cold.
Yeah, don't they know
so
shrinkage?
I feel that there was probably shrinkage.
Yeah.
So it was like a blink moment, and Chris Pine's penis was there and gone in just a minute. We saw a lot more, like,
there were a lot of boobs for many minutes.
Yeah, titties everywhere.
Nothing that I cared about, but, you know, whatever.
Titties everywhere. I mean, if that's what you like, go
Scotland
for it.
Scotland was lousy with titties back then.
You see Chris, what's her, Elizabeth's titties quite a bit, like, yeah. Nipples. All day, every day. But
as long as far as the day is long.
I mean, they're like rubber erasers. Seriously. No, I didn't care for this movie. It really is Braveheart 2 for me. It's too cheesy. It's too long. It focuses way too much on unimportant things when I would have liked to have a more cohesive plot. So I'm going to give this 6 pieces of William Wallace's body out of 10.
Which pieces were you thinking of?
I was thinking like his torso and maybe a thigh.
So it was that many pieces? It was like 6 or more?
I mean, they cut them up and sent them to the edges of the earth.
It's like that office cake when you're like, I don't know if you have enough pieces. They're like, just watch it.